Welcome. This is ActiveSpirituality.life. It is a weekly forecast program with astrology and a guided meditation activation to help you make the most of your week. It's run by Pamela Cuccinell, that's me, the astrologer, and Susie Mazzoli, Master Healer. We invite you to find out more about our individual work, Susie Mazzoli, SusieMazzoli-Healer.com, or InsightOasis.com for astrology. You can also find both of us at ActiveSpirituality.life, and we look forward to your joining us every week. Please share with your friends. Here we go.
Welcome, everybody, to the 41st week of 2020. Pamela Cuccinell will be telling us about the week starting Monday, the 5th of October, 2020. And after about 20 minutes or so, I'm going to jump in and do our little 10-minute turbo boost meditation. And, well, I hesitate to say anything at this point, but Pam, I know there's a big week ahead.
Oh, yes. Well, the autumn we always knew was going to be big times. And so here we are, right smack in it. And October 5th, the moon is in the sign of Taurus. The times I give are Eastern time, so please adjust depending on where you are on the planet. But the moon goes void, of course, at 2:41 p.m. And what that means is that the moon, which overall in mundane astrology, which we call the planetary weather, the events that affect all of us here on the globe, where the moon is talks about the mood of the people, what the general emotional weather is. So when it's void, of course, it means that the moon is not making any other geometric aspects to another planet before it changes signs. So there's no relating that's happening. And so conventional wisdom speaks about how you don't want to initiate or engage or start a conversation that really is meaningful, sign a contract, because things don't really gel. Now, this can change depending on your personal horoscope, but overall, as of when the moon is void, of course, we recommend that you do things like organize, plan strategies without committing, have conversations that can open up to new things, do therapeutic work, because we're very open and available and not distracted by other things that we may want to plow ahead and do. It's also good to be working on, especially on the 5th with the moon in Taurus, to be working on something already in process that needs follow through. Very good for that. Up until the time the moon goes void, of course, on the 5th is an excellent, excellent morning for engaging. Unlike when the moon is void, of course, it's excellent for doing bargaining, things that have to do with budgeting, figuring out strategy. All these are very well aspected with the moon in Taurus, shoring up resources, things that have to do with tangible manifestation. Good things for your body. Excellent for this. We are in the waning moon cycle, which means that depending on what you're doing, you don't necessarily want to start something totally new, but this is not a hard rule depending on what the thing is. It is important to keep in mind that Mars is retrograde now, and as I will say every week while it's retrograde, anyone who initiates an argument, confrontation, draws a battle line, ends up being the loser when Mars is retrograde. So if you find yourself in a situation that is argumentative or confrontational, do not be the one who starts on the offense. Yes, you can defend, but you don't want to be the person who is starting whatever the attack may be. Something interesting to keep in mind as we are in debate season in the United States. So overall, I see October 5th as being a very good regenerative day, especially in before that moon goes void, of course, after which very good for kind of bringing things down to earth and working on projects already in motion, closing up your garden, et cetera, et cetera. So the 6th, the moon enters the sign of Gemini just after midnight, at 12:03 a.m. Eastern time. And once the moon has entered the sign of Gemini, now we're in an energetic thrust that very much is about communication. Keeping that in mind, we are in the shadow of Mercury retrograde. Mercury goes retrograde next week, but we're in the shadow, which means that Mercury will backtrack over where it's going direct right now when it goes retrograde. So the suggestion generally is that you may have to rethink something, edit it, do it over, anything that is kind of put in motion at this point in time, but it's just very important that you're careful about how things proceed. I mean, ideally one would say, well, I'm always careful about communications. I double check my emails, et cetera, before I hit send. But you really want to do that now, and you especially want to do it if it's anything that you're assuming or thinking that got happened, because this is the time when, oh, I thought I responded, oh, it's in my draft folder, it was in my head, my response, but I didn't hit send. So those are the things you want to look for as Mercury goes retrograde. For people in the United States who are voting, it's, again, very important to realize this election season, if you're early voting, is a Mercury retrograde election. So you want to make sure that everything is in motion so that your vote gets counted. Overall, important to realize, on the 6th, there is a picture in the sky in the morning that between Venus and the moon, which speaks about potential to feel a bit frustrated, not having your needs met, feeling a disconnect between what you want to do and what may be necessary to do. If you're feeling this or experiencing it, you could be someone who has this configuration natally, hard aspect between Venus and Moon. So if you kind of wake up a little cranky or frustrated or feeling like somebody isn't hearing you, it's a transit, it will pass. It's just really important to be clear of what it is you want and need so that you work on reconciling those two things, because sometimes it's a little disparate for us. What we want and what we need may be two different things. And actually, some people are born this way and have to kind of work it out continually throughout their lives, so that they work on reconciling those two verbs, need and want, but highlighted on the morning of the 6th. When the moon is in Gemini, we tend to, especially air and fire signs, people who have that strong in their chart, very mercurial people, we tend to move from one idea to the other. And for some people, this feels great, which is fabulous. Just again, keep in mind, shadow of Mercury retrograde is upon us. But overall, very playful day, as is the 7th. These are strong days to relate to children, open up your childlike wonder. Very good days for the communication arts, people who do marketing, writing, anything that has to do with getting messages out. Just as I keep hammering that soft hammer, double check what you do before you send it out. the 7th. And also what's going on in the neighborhood. If you've been somebody who's been a bit quarantined or not moving around as much, take a walk, go outside, see what's out there. These are days that are heightened observation for what's new, what's happening, and we want to relate to our neighbors. And for some of us, our neighbors are global. I mean, it's not just what's happening in the neighborhood or the community, but we're people who maybe have a reach in more than one country. So there's a lot of that connectivity that occurs. So these are great days for having the connections, reaching out to people who you want to check in with, see what they're doing, especially neighbors and siblings. On the 7th, the other thing to mention is that there's two kind of challenging pictures in the sky. One happens in the early afternoon, and so morning can feel a little confused messages, things, not really like kind of fuzzy math, things not coming in very clearly. So if you're feeling a sense of confusion or not being totally settled in a direction, this is a really good reminder that you need a pocket of meditation. I mean, some of us are really good meditators. We do ritual. We take that time every day. Other people, it's like where you find the time. But there's always, in even the busiest days, time to squirrel away, a little time to yourself to focus, to just go into that space where you're not thinking of anything. And that helps to clear, sort of defog the brain and heart and spirit so that you're able to have a sense when you come out of it of, okay, I'm a little clearer now. I may not know exactly what's ahead, but I feel more centered about it. The other picture to note is there's a Mercury-Uranus opposition, and that that passes when we get into early evening. So when I see this picture, I always really, really emphasize, pay attention to where you're moving around in your body. If you're driving, if you're walking, if you're in motion, pay attention to what's going on around you, because we tend to get very distracted by ideas, information, things that come out of the blue, and then we're not really as agile or responsive as we need to be in order to maybe grab that inspiration or idea or avert quickly so that we are not not kind of in the range of whatever's coming at us that we didn't even notice because our head was somewhere else. So that's really important to be aware of on the 7th. It can also be a day when something comes in out of left field that you didn't expect to hear, especially a message or some kind of communication. And it needn't totally derail you at all, especially if you've been on a bit hyper alert. So as you've probably heard me say, morning can be a bit confusing into early afternoon. The more aware you are of kind of pulling yourself inward so that you can really pay attention outward, the better prepared you are for these kind of fast signals that may be coming in on this day. Overall, the 6th and 7th can be highly productive, good days. It's just we really want to be present on listening and knowing how whatever we communicate is responded to. Do not assume. Make sure that whatever message is conveyed is really heard and parroted back to you so that you and whoever you're communicating with is on the same page. And this can be simple things like just a monetary exchange with the cashier so that when you leave, you know you have the money that you thought you should have had. And it can also be very complex problems as well, or things that are very important to convey. The moon goes void, of course, at 9:57 p.m. And always moon void, of course, in Gemini. I cannot stress this enough. If you don't want to go down the rabbit hole on the internet, make sure that you're off your computer before that certain movement occurs, because people tend to look up and realize, oh my goodness, 2 hours just passed, and where was I? And the 8th, the moon enters the sign of Cancer, but not until 11:45 a.m. So that leaves the morning kind of set up the way I just described the evening before, once the moon went void. So if you've got any business to do, especially on the computer, make sure you have a list that's been prepared before the moon went void, of course, so that you stay on track. Use things like, what's that thing I've got on my computer? I'm blanking on the name of it now. But, you know, you set it up so that you don't, self-control is the app, so that you know how much time you're spending and you don't go down certain avenues that are going to distract you. That can be, unless you want to be distracted, it's an excellent morning to play with your kid, talk to a friend, do things that are just kind of like, this is fun and I'm volleying around ideas and nothing needs to go anywhere. Once the moon enters the sign of Cancer at 11:45 a.m., now we're in very different energy. We're in energy that's about how do I stay on task about things that make me feel secure and are direction-oriented, especially direction-oriented that has to do with home, people I love, legacy, family, self-care, health to some degree. If you're working in your home, these next couple of days can be a bit of a challenge, because there's that division that gets highlighted between home and work. And it's a challenging, the afternoon of the 8th into Friday morning of the 10th. These are challenging days about balancing work and home life. So it can bring up really clear, upfront and personal, anything that's kind of awry. You may not notice it so much on the 8th. It becomes certainly more emphasized on the 9th. Morning can seem to be flowing, and then you hit this kind of power struggle. And sometimes the power struggle can be with somebody else, and sometimes you might as well be looking in the mirror, because it may be you want to go one way and you're feeling this really strong force or energy that wants you to go another way. And it's a power play. So this can be utilized tremendously to kind of make the engine roar, but you have to know what fuel is in the engine and where you want it to go. I'm talking about a Mars square Pluto picture, which also can indicate things happening on the world stage. Of course, many of us feel barraged with that information all the time. Media buzz, even if you're not paying much attention to it, you know, it can come through your radar anyway. So this can be a day when something can be emphasized that's about especially some of the big topics that are world events right now. Racism, COVID, effects and risks of super spreader events like President Trump's diagnosis, the economy, of all these things may be some kind of pressure cooker thing that happens on the ninth. So each individual's job is to work with however this is coming up for you and kind of tune up that engine so that wherever you're driving, your energy is going in a direction that feels like it holds the integrity of what it is you want to deliver. So the more we winnow down like choices, priorities on this day, the easier it continues to be as we go into mid-fall and early winter. The 10th may not feel as intense as the day before, or it can feel more emotional. Sometimes people really need to express emotion, especially with whomever they live with or their closest family members, business partners. There's a transit, it passes, but it's really important to pay attention to whatever is coming up for you and for people around you and how to navigate that and deal with it in a way that's really profoundly communicating. These things happening while we're in the shadow of Mercury retrograde and the Mars retrograde really emphasize the necessity of clear communication and opening up the heart. Can't emphasize that enough. 12:04 p.m., the moon goes void, of course, and it doesn't enter the next sign of Leo until 8:24 p.m. As we go through the afternoon, really important to take care, self-care, eat ways that really nourish your body, recharge near a body of water, in a body of water, if you're somewhere that it's warm enough to do that, or you have an indoor swimming place, a bath, all these things, very, very restorative. There's a picture of the sky between Venus and Uranus that lets us know we may be attracted to someone or something that's different than what would usually catch our eye. Depending on the other aspects of your horoscope, this could be very fleeting or it could be very inspirational and magical. Your body, your experience, you decide how this lights you up or, wow, that was interesting, and goes away. 8:24 p.m. when the moon enters the sign of Leo, a wonderful evening for entertainment, like playing, romance, the things that light us up and make us feel like it's a joy to be alive. And this is really important to remember. On the 11th, again, can be kind of a fraught day because of some of the pictures, but overall, anything that feels a little rocky, out of the blue or through you, the more you play with it, react to it creatively, the more you can make it your own magical occurrence. And now I turn it over to Susie.
Okay. So I just feel like we're constantly being asked to be more aware, more accepting, more. It feels like we're just being kind of asked to.
Well, yes, we're being asked to do that because we are in the throes of tremendous changes. And so each of us determines what that looks like by how we react, what our intentions are, and how we move forward. And as we talk about all the time, it's the dueling polarity between love and fear. Are we going to let anxiety, things that we can't control or assume we can't control, overrun us, or are we going to really work the muscle of love warrior? How do we show up, be accountable for what it is we intend the world to be?
And I find myself constantly working with clients and saying, time to step into a higher level of understanding, which somehow is in a way kind of beyond emotion. So so I'm going to go into that a little bit with our meditation. So I invite everybody to take a moment, just to take a moment to be still. Actually, take 10 minutes to be still. Just hold yourself in a place of quiet and peace. If you can't do that now, then stop here and come back to it when you can. And just begin to take a few deeper breaths. And just have a look at all the different parts of ourselves that we're made up of. We're made up of heart and head, spirit and body, all different ways to understand and to separate the different bits and pieces of ourselves. But we all know about the emotional part of ourselves. Some of us are perhaps in a nice balanced state, like you. Some of us are letting the emotions get the best of us. Some of us work very, very hard to find a balance. And some of us actually might be in some way kind of dammed up or numbed or blocked off from our emotions and might come across as being non-emotional or perhaps coming across as being even non-compassionate or what we might say aloof. So we can be in all different states, and we can probably go through all of those states in 1 hour in our day, many times in our lifetime, or we might live in one particular realm of that emotional spectrum. So just notice where you are emotionally. How much do your emotions actually give you the direction of your life or the direction of your day? How much are your emotional states in charge most of the time? And do you ever find yourself what I call above the emotional state? That state where, for example, if you're on a staircase and you go just a few stairs higher and you look down to yourself and your emotional state and you say, oh, there I am and I'm really upset. Or there I am and I'm fuming with anger. Or there I am and I'm just kind of sad and depressed. Or there I am and I'm bursting with happiness. What happens when you go a few steps up now and you look back at yourself? Can you identify now, really witness, really look at, what is your emotional state now? What is feeding that emotional state? Is it something that happened perhaps last night or something that happened 25 years ago? Or something that you think is going to happen in the future? Just notice what is feeding, what is the fuel that actually creates the state that you're in. And look at it from the outside. Look at it from the outside view as a witness. And if you can, do it without any kind of judgment, without any kind of interpretation, just simple assessment, factual. And as you do that, recognize if that's a state that you like to be in, that you want to be in, that you need to be in. just have a little look at that and just see now what happens if we can be more of a witness to that state rather than actually being in that state. What difference does it make? What difference does it make to look at the beach with the waves crashing, perhaps waves that are a little bit too big to be swimming in? Can be exhilarating, can be fun, can also be dangerous, can also be fatal. And what's the difference to actually being in those waves? To being pummeled by the ocean? Now, of course, not all emotional states are like this, but this is just a meditation on being a witness, on coming up and out from the tight grip of the emotional situation and seeing it for what it is. So what happens now when we can learn to do this easily, simply, effortlessly, and perhaps in the future automatically, that when we are confronting a situation, when we need to be rational, when it would be in the highest interest of everybody involved to be compassionate, to be loving, and if possible, to be neutral. What happens when we can come to this state and lift ourselves out of the drama? To be in a state of acceptance, understanding situations, and not getting turbo boosted or charging or triggered, not entering into the drama, but remaining calm. Acceptance of what is happening doesn't mean that we are not engaged in action, in righteous action. Doesn't mean that we are letting things just blow over. Doesn't mean that we are allowing people to push us around. It means that we are approaching it from a more mature and spiritual place, where we're not behaving like children squabbling over the truck in the sandpit. Where we're not bowled over by tremendous emotions, where anger is not burning the years off our long life, but we respond peacefully, gently. We pray or we visualize for the highest good of all beings. And we understand that everything is happening for a reason, and I can get dramatic and upset or I can be rational and engage from this higher spiritual standpoint. And as we feel this balance, this equilibrium, as we feel it in every part of our body, we calm down and we feel that peace in every single cell of our being. Taking a few deeper breaths, gently opening your eyes, and let's send that peace out in all directions to all beings everywhere. Thanks so much.
You have been listening to ActiveSpirituality.life with Susie Mazzoli and Pamela Cuccinell. You can find out more about our work on ActiveSpirituality.life, and we really hope you have found this episode helpful. Please share it with your friends. And if you feel so moved, we appreciate your donations. ActiveSpirituality.life. Have a beautiful week.